You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation.
This is Carla Dedesi here with Your Family Matters at 1180 WFYL. Happy Friday. What a brilliant gift today is. Driving into the studio, I just felt exceptionally happy driving in today. We have so much to celebrate today, this morning. It is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I was thinking about the teachers that my oldest daughter has, and I just want to give a shout out to them because they make learning a lot of fun for her, and she enjoys school so much. And then I thought I'd pat myself on the back because, as many of you know, I am a homeschool mom of my two other little girls. So I just patted myself on the back because I enjoy teaching so much wisdom into my two little ones. So happy Appreciation to Teachers Week. You know, yesterday I realized that I was supposed to bring a salad into my daughter's school. And it was one of those days as a mommy where there's contractors in the backyard. And I'm trying to homeschool my little girls, and I'm thinking about what I need to do all day. And you all know that I'm working on a third book, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely, which is coming together beautifully. It's the best one yet. Working with my illustrator, Skyping with her. And I looked at about 4 o'clock to make sure that I didn't miss anything all day. And indeed, I missed bringing the salad over to the teacher appreciation luncheon at 12 o'clock. And thank goodness, nobody really misses a salad. They had everything else. But what did you do this week to show the teachers in your lives that you really appreciate them? Also want to give a shout out to all of the fabulous mommies out there. It's Mother's Day in a couple of days. I love celebrating Mother's Day. And it made me think and reflect about my own travel and adventure as a mother, but it also made me think about my own mom, who has been such a great influence in my life. So I just wanted to give a shout out to my mom today. You know, when she still is a mom. You're a mother from the womb to the tomb. I like to say you have your babies and then you are still going to be mothering until, you know, we pass away from this earth. So used to be called a stay-at-home mom, but I've come up with a new term for stay-at-home mom. I like to call it a mommy PhD. We're working on our PhD in motherhood. And when I think about my mom, there's something that comes to my mind. I remember I read somewhere once upon a time that a mother is someone who, when there are 4 pieces of pie left, but there are 5 people sitting around the table, she promptly responds, "I never really cared very much for pie." And I think that that's such a beautiful example of my own mother that was always putting others' needs before her own. And that is really a very contrary statement to today's world where we're always saying me first, me first. I really do believe that an excellent mom is putting her children's needs before her own and even putting her husband's needs before her own. And I remember my mom was sitting and having a conversation with a friend of hers, and the friend said, "You really need to have me time, Rhea. You have to have me time." And my mom was kind of quiet, and because my mother is a very content, happy, energetic woman. And this other friend was saying, "You need to go to the gym. You need to just go and have a spa day." And my mother was very humble and sweet and kind and listened to this woman's advice. And certainly there's nothing wrong with doing all of those things. And then when she got up and left, my mother turned to me and said, "You know, I really get energized from doing things for other people, for making meals, for helping you, Carla, with your children." And I just think that that's such a beautiful example of motherhood. And my earliest memories of my mom, when I reflect and think about her, she was very hands-on. She sacrificed so much. She was always going in so many different directions. She still is going in so many different directions. I'm able to be in here this morning because my mother's at home getting my daughters ready for school, dropping one off. She's doing fun stuff with my other two little girls. What a blessing it is that now she's even mothering my children. You know, my mother had a mother, my grandmother, was bipolar. And from my earliest recollections, I remember my mother taking care of and being the caregiver for her mom. And I saw in that, watching her example, again, of just nurturing and caring for, compassion, sensitivity, putting somebody else's needs before her own. And again, just such a beautiful example of motherhood. I consider her a Lydia, if you know who that was in the Bible, somebody that has the hostess with the mostess. She had a revolving door. My mother still has a revolving door at her home. People are constantly coming and going. She's constantly entertaining and fundraising. And it's so funny when I think about the mother that I am. She has so greatly influenced what I do with the minutes and the hours of every one of my days. My mother also is still doing things for me, like sewing the window treatments in my house or making my daughter's poodle skirts for her show at school this year. So just, again, just constantly partnering with me, with all that needs to be done in my day. And sometimes we giggle and say we wish that we had 34 hours in a day versus just 24. So I'm so very thankful when I think about my mom, who shaped my purpose as a mother. The profession of motherhood is really all about influence. You and I have an incredible opportunity to influence the next generation by what we do as a mother every day. This is why intentionality is so important during the years that we raise our family. Be intentional, moms, about how you heal from life's hurts because your children are watching you. Be intentional about taking care of yourself because your children are watching that. Be intentional about investing into your marriage and investing into relationships because your children are watching. And be most intentional about how you're mothering and parenting and homemaking. Intentionality, when we have purpose, this increases our influence. We're not doing things haphazardly or randomly. Influence is something God asks us to be intentional about. We cannot, please never underestimate the power of your mother's love. It's the most powerful thing on the earth. The value of your home, my home, and the significance of our intentional presence in the home. Motherhood must be celebrated. So I ask you to please enjoy your Mother's Day. And all of you dads out there, really make those moms in your lives, your wives, feel special. What are some of your favorite gifts that you enjoy? I love getting poems from my children, drawings from my children. My one daughter's into sewing, so she sewed me last Mother's Day this adorable cheetah print skirt, which I love to death and have worn a couple of times. But I also love getting books that I can share and read with my children. This Mother's Day, don't forget to order Julia books, My Julia Learns series, which is going to influence your children to be great readers, but also great future leaders. Christian book distributor, go there and check out other books that you can give to your moms and grandmoms this Mother's Day. This morning, we're also going to be talking to Hans Nelson, is going to be with us in the house any minute. He wants to talk to us about an event that's happening. 7500 Germantown Avenue, a Sinbad event. I think that is a great Mother's Day gift. He's going to tell you how you can get tickets to go and see Sinbad on Friday evening, May 29th. That would be a fun night out for mom, a date night to do with her, or maybe buy her tickets with all of her girlfriends. They can go out and enjoy having some fun together. Also wanted to give a shout out this morning to Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center. Let's talk about Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center. They are showing mom's love and compassion. They are doing it through not being judgmental about these girls' situations, but coming alongside them and linking arms, giving them bottles, clothing, anything that they need, educational classes, psychological counseling, anything that they need, bringing the daddies in, their husbands in, and doing family counseling so these moms can be the best moms that they can be. So when you think about giving to the mom in your life this weekend, you might also want to consider donating to Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center in the heart of Reading, donating a gift to your mom on behalf of Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center. I also want to talk a little bit about voting. May 19th, we're going to be voting for the primaries. If you go to Facebook and go to Julia Learns and like the Julia Learns page and say, I vote, make sure that you post, I vote. You have to like my page at Julia Learns on Facebook and then write a post, I like, and I will be putting your name for an opportunity to win Julia Learns to Vote, the printed book, the ebook, as well as the coloring book. I'll sign them and get them out to you so that you can start reading to your children and bringing them to the polls on May 19th to vote with you. So again, if you go to Facebook, Julia Learns, like that page, and then post I Vote, you're going to be entered to win all of my Julia Learns voting books. And of course, they're all available on Amazon and Christian book distributors. All right. Not sure where Hans is this morning. He has not called in yet. So I'm just going to share with you what's happening with Sinbad here on May 29th. As you know, Hans has been on this show before. He is the executive director of Jesus Saves Music Production Company. He is also the president of Fisherman Films, which is feature films production company. And he is trying to get a film off of the ground. It is a film about his life. You know that he has a fabulous testimony. This is a man that was on MTV, rap star in the 90s. To the world, it looked like he had it all. But in reality, he was steeped in drugs and womanizing, and he was very depressed. He had friends that were getting killed at early ages because of gang violence. And then, believe it or not, when he was in Jamaica, he met Jesus Christ there. And he had a conversion. And he came back to the States, and all of our conversions are different, but his conversion was very dramatic, and he started writing songs for Jesus Christ. And now he wants to get his life story onto a feature film so that it can be an influence, an encouragement to the inner city. This is really an urban project. And although it is an urban project, it's something that all of us, as a part of the body of Christ, should really be involved. So May 29th, he has Sinbad coming to our area, and he is going to be at 7500 Germantown Avenue. There's going to be dinner, and then Sinbad is going to be giving a comedic routine. I think that he's hilarious. I think he's really funny. We're all going to be there. I have about 20 guests going. All of the ticket money goes to Hans so that he is able to have his feature film up and going. He's been working on it for about 5 years. He really wants it to come into fruition. So if you want to find out about Sinbad coming May 29th, I'm going to tell you to Google Hans Nelson or just call into the radio station, and we would be happy to give you all of that information. Russ, what is the telephone number here? 1-800-576-TALK?
No, that would be, let me bring it up here. It is 610-539-8255 or toll free at 1-877-667-1180.
1-877-667-1180 if you would like to get Sinbad tickets for May 29th. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Hope Rescue Mission, who is also a sponsor of Your Family Matters. Hope Rescue Mission is located in the heart of Reading. They are ministering to about 80 homeless men each and every day. They are feeding them meals. They are giving them a warm, clean bed. They're giving them the opportunity to have a hot shower and a safe place to rest. But that's not all that they're doing. They are also providing them with educational classes, a computer lab, giving them guidance counseling, and even helping to get some of them GEDs and back to work programs. Hope Rescue Mission, giving real hope to men who feel hopeless. I love this mission. I go down there quite often with my children and my husband, and we will serve in the soup kitchen or just hand out Christmas gifts at Christmas time. So thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty. Sam Chen is going to be in the house with us. Sam Chen is with the Little Group, and he is going to be sharing with us about Senator Toomey's bills that he's trying to introduce to protect children from sexual predators in our schools. He's going to give us the update on that. And then he is also going to be sharing with us a bill that Senator Toomey is co-sponsoring, which is to protect children from predators and human traffickers. You know, we really need to be very aware that our children need protection. And if, as moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and even neighbors, we are not protecting these little 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, who do you think is going to protect them? If we cannot trust the teachers in our schools and the principals and the bus drivers, who else is going to protect these little ones, these little innocent lambs? So it saddens me a bit that we have to have house bills and we have to have the people that are in leadership actually passing things that say that we should not have people working in the school who have a criminal background, that have a history of being predators with children. And I know that the argument is that some of these people have gone to jail and they have done their time and they have gotten out, or they've gone to counseling and they've been to rehab. And I applaud them and we forgive them. However, we cannot put these people back into the environment from where they were hurting others. They can go and work at Macy's at the perfume counter. They can go and work at McDonald's, go and be an accountant. But you cannot work at a daycare center or at a school if you have a history of being a child predator. That's just what makes sense. So Senator Toomey is working on a bill to protect our kids from sexual predators, and he's working on that with Manchin. And let me share a little bit about that. In 2014, there were at least 459 teachers and other school employees who were arrested across America for sexual misconduct with our kids, including 26 Pennsylvania teachers. Each one of these stories represents a tragedy, a childhood shattered, a family torn by grief, betrayal. Sometimes they even blame themselves. I feel that we have an obligation to do everything in our power to protect and safeguard our children from sexual predators. That's why I personally am so grateful to Senator Toomey that he's presenting this bill. Because every child deserves to have at least one place where he or she can feel safe and comfortable. So many kids these days don't feel safe. At least they should be able to feel safe at school for 7 hours, 5 days a week. This bill is something that is common sense. This is really a no-brainer. This is something that's going to help our kids It's going to help our families. Anybody who behaves inappropriately in our kids' schools should not be able to be teaching them. So let me give you a little bit of the background of this bill that they're trying to have passed. Protecting Students from Sexual and Violent Predators Act was inspired by the tragic death of 12-year-old Jeremy Bell. We talked about him last month, actually. And this story began when a school in Delaware County, okay, this is in our backyard. This isn't something random in a faraway country. This happened in Delaware County, where Jeremy Bell was raped. And Pennsylvania dismissed this teacher for molesting several boys and even raping one. And they even helped him to get a job in West Virginia. And this teacher, no surprise to any of us, began doing the same things in West Virginia. And his actions resulted eventually in the rape and murder of 12-year-old Jeremy Bell. And if you go to Pat Toomey's website, you are able to watch a video of the press conference that is explaining in way more detail. You know, I want you to understand that this is a bipartisan bill. This isn't one side or the other. This is something, and I love bills like this that brings unification. I love when there's a bill because we can do this. I like when there's something that does not divide us, but it brings it all together. And that's what Senator Toomey's bill is doing. The bipartisan bill requires schools receive federal funds to perform background checks on all new and existing workers who have unsupervised access to children. This includes the substitute teachers, the coaches, classroom aides, bus drivers, anyone who has contract with your children and my children. And these are not subject to background checks in 12 states. The background checks must be thorough, covering 2 state and 2 federal databases. The Toomey Manchin bill forbids schools from hiring persons who have been convicted of certain crimes, including any violent or sexual crime against a kid. The Protecting Students Act also bans the terrible practice of a school allowing a child molester to resign quietly and helping the predator find a new teaching job elsewhere. A practice so common that it actually has its own name. They're calling it passing the trash. How despicable is that, that this is actually very well known across state lines? In our public schools, we pass the trash when there's a teacher who has brutalized, criminalized one of our young kids. So I would encourage you to go to your senators and ask them if they are indeed for, pro, this bill that Toomey is trying to get passed into a law. Again, this is the bill that he's trying to introduce to protect our kids from sexual predators in our schools. You know, there's so many people that judge and get up in arms when there are things happening in the Catholic Church, or in any church for that matter, when we see our pastors who are taking advantage of our little kids, because it happens. We should be just as upset in the public school system. We'll be right back.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hope.
1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hi.
Date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The 33rd U.S. President was born this day, May 8, 1884. He was captain of a field artillery battery in France during World War I, judge in Jackson County, Missouri, a U.S. senator, and vice president under Franklin D. Roosevelt. As president, he ended World War II by dropping the atomic bomb. His name, Harry S. Truman, who stated, "The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings of Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
This is Carla Dedessi with Your Family Matters. Sam Chen, I know there was a lot of traffic coming in to see us this morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me. I apologize. Traffic, the turnpike is never fun.
That's because it's absolutely gorgeous out today. And I think probably a lot of people might be taking the day off, you know? It's so beautiful.
Sure. Why not? Celebrate Mother's Day early. Happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I've been filling our listeners in with your work with Toomey at the moment, but I do want to reintroduce you. You have a degree in church and state studies, and you've written and even spoken extensively on all of these matters, whether constitutional, sociological, and you've recently started your own company, The Little Group.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that, and how can we get in touch if we need your services at The Little Group?
Sure. I've been very, very blessed, obviously with a great family and a great education at Baylor University. And, from graduating, God's really given me a great opportunity to get involved in the political world and public policy and things like that. And I've had the great opportunity of working with a number of our leaders across the state, across the country. And so, after this last campaign, 2014, we just had the opportunity to kind of get started on our own and really kick off our own thing. So we started The Little Group. It's a public policy and campaign strategy firm. And we're just getting started, but we're doing some really, really great things.
And I know that you've been very busy with that.
Yeah.
So you're on Facebook, and you also have a website where we can check you out.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just thelittlegroup.com.
Awesome.
Little's L-I-D-D-E-L-L.
And I know that you do things outside of the box, which I personally love, because I would like to break through that ceiling of this is how you have to lead. This is how you have to be a, you know, quote unquote politician, or this is how you fundraise, or this is how you have to get your message across.
Sure.
So I personally really like that about you and your group, that you're doing things outside of the box and you're still being very influential. So tell us what's happening with Pat Toomey. Specifically with the Child Protection Act, especially this week as it's Teacher Appreciation Week.
Absolutely. And I was listening a little bit as driving in. Thank you so much for talking up this bill. It's extremely important. And I'm just so grateful for Senator Toomey, especially here in Pennsylvania, who's taken up this cause. And he's always said, I've got the three best reasons to do it, my three children. And it's just such an important bill. And this is actually the second time we've run it in the Senate. And it's interesting because the first time we ran it in the U.S. House of Representatives, it went through unanimously. There wasn't a single objection to the bill. This was the week after the government shutdown had ended. And so emotions were high. The House was divided. At that point, you had people calling for Speaker Boehner to resign, and Democrats were blaming Republicans, Republicans were blaming Democrats. And they came together, they passed this bill unanimously in the House. People say that's controversial. You look at Pennsylvania, and the last 4 years, the only thing we heard was that Governor Corbett can't work with the state legislature. In the middle of this election cycle, in October of 2014, Governor Corbett signed this bill in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania version of it. And it was put together by two Republican state reps and a Democrat state senator, Mike Tobash of Schuylkill County, Dave Maloney of Berks County, and then Anthony Williams in Philadelphia. They put the bill together. Governor Corbett signed it. Again, not a single vote against it. So this is not a controversial measure at all. For some reason, the first time we brought it up, Senator Toomey brought it up with Senator Manchin. He didn't get out of committee. The second time, they brought it up as an amendment to Senator John Cornyn of Texas' anti-human trafficking bill. And the moment it was brought up, Sherrod Brown, senator from Ohio, voices an objection to the bill. Doesn't really say what it is, but just says that there's a lot of people on that side of the aisle that object to this. And it's unfortunate. And so it was proposed as an amendment to the human trafficking bill. It didn't get through. And we can talk about the human trafficking bill later on. The good news is that did pass. And so we do have those protections put into place now. And so
the human trafficking bill did pass,
it
indeed?
We're going to talk about that later. And unfortunately, this Senator Toomey's bill is not part of that human trafficking bill at the end. And so what we're seeing is that we're seeing a handful of senators objecting to it and on both sides of the aisle.
Let me ask you this question. Do we think that they are objecting to it because those of us who support it are somehow overinflating the urgency or the need? Do they think that our children really are not? I mean, you have the Jeremy Bell incident, my goodness.
Right. Right.
So what do they think, that we're being too conservative? I mean, do they think that this really doesn't exist out there?
That's a good question.
Is it a union issue? They somehow think that they're above the law, that...
Sure. There's really two sides of objection here. And the larger side, where most of the Democrats fall, is that the National Education Association is opposed to this bill. And so the National Education Association, obviously being the national teachers union, and probably one of the more powerful lobbyist groups in the country. And they're opposed to this bill. And the general argument there is that we're asking teachers to get background checks. And they're arguing that this is an undue burden on educators, that...
It's not an undue burden because, and I believe that I wonder if they would be screaming about not having criminal background checks on our priests, our pastors, our Sunday school teachers, our kids' clubs, teachers at school, like Awanas and things. Mm-hmm. And what about even Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts?
Sure.
We all are required to take criminal background checks. As a mom, when we're visiting a church, let's say my brother-in-law's church or my sister-in-law's church, the first thing that I ask before I drop my children off every single solitary time is, do you require your teachers to have criminal background checks? And of course, unanimously, it's yes.
Right.
My oldest is 14 now, so I've been asking that question for 14 years. I don't think that you can be too careful.
Exactly.
When we're giving our children over to someone else to watch for an hour or 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. So I just really want to question the National Education Association. Why do they think that their employees, their members... don't have to have criminal background checks, yet they're around our children and your children 5 days a week for about 7 hours each day. And they don't have to have the standard.
Right. Exactly. And that's just where it makes absolutely no sense. And what's really interesting is it's not – they're not standing on this unanimously. A lot of the state education associations, for example, in Pennsylvania, the PSEA, when this bill came up in Pennsylvania, the PSEA – you know, is a very, very large, very powerful union in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Teachers Union. And they didn't endorse the bill when it came to Pennsylvania, but they also didn't oppose it. And they issued a statement saying, while we don't want to overburden our teachers, we understand that there is an important need to protect our students. And so we're just not going to say anything about this bill. Now, it's short of the endorsement I would have liked. But at the same time, they're not coming out and asking people to vote against it because they seem to recognize that there is a need for protection like this. And it's something that the NEA I don't think that it's a failure to recognize. I think they just turned a blind eye to it for one reason or another.
And so, and I can say this with my freedom of speech, I actually will say that I don't like that they're not coming out, the PSEA, mm-hmm. that they're not coming out and fully endorsing this. Because whenever I speak to a teacher or ever I hear a teacher union representative speaking, all I hear is, we're about the children, the children, the children.
Right.
Children, children, children. So they should be standing up and saying, they're overburdening teachers by making them do a criminal background check?
Right.
Really?
It makes absolutely no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense. If they want to, if education is really about children, they all deserve to be in a safe environment while they are learning. They should be learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic. They should not have to be worried, and the parents should not have to be worried that there is someone who's going to be preying on our kids.
Exactly.
And I'm actually very disappointed that the PSEA does not come out and 100% wholeheartedly endorse this. I think that they're doing a great disservice to every student.
Sure, sure. The other side of the argument, the other argument, I should say, so that's the general one that you're going to hear. The other argument actually comes from the Republican side, and Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee has kind of led this argument. And that's the argument that this is a takeover of education by the federal government, and that this cuts against the core of what we stand for as conservatives, that we believe in liberty, we believe the government should be out of our hair, and by doing this, the government is actually infiltrating our schools and taking over. And again, this argument is absolute hogwash. If I have an associate that works with us, Kate Hardiman, a brilliant young lady, and she proposed this really remarkable argument when she said there's a big difference between a government takeover, which is where the government comes in and actually begins to monitor and begins to participate in the day-to-day administrative tasks and on the one side, and on the other side of the federal government setting regulations and guidelines by which the entities have to follow, but not coming in and dictating the day-to-day administrative tasks. And in fact, the second, which is what we have here, is what the federal government is there for. They're there to set these guidelines, to set these laws. And when we complain about government takeover, we're specifically talking about situations where the government comes in and they say, this is how many students you have to have in the classroom. This is how you have to teach the curriculum, or this is how you have to purchase your health care, etc. But when they're just setting guidelines and regulations, that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
That's what they're there for. And
right.
Of course, the other side of the argument is also the federal government is there to protect us.
Correct. From evil. That's what I'm thinking. As you're saying this, I'm thinking that one of the number one functions of government is to protect against evil.
Right.
So
right. If someone had broken into your house,
right,
and is holding you up at gunpoint, and you call the police, the last thing you want is for the police to say, oh, I'm sorry, but government shouldn't be infiltrating your private lives.
Right. So Senator Lamar Alexander, and he's a Republican.
He's a Republican from the state of Tennessee.
Okay. And the Democrat, I think you said it was Senator Brown.
Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Now,
okay. Are these people that we can call or write letters to? Because I know that when we do call and write letters, it does influence the decision making.
Absolutely. And I'll go. So Senator Brown was speaking on behalf of the Democrat caucus. And so he was essentially the spokesperson. Now, obviously, we know that this bill is bipartisan. There wasn't a single in fact, the House version of the bill was written by a Democrat. Senator Joe
Great.
Manchin is a Democrat.
Great.
And so this is not – people who try to create this, make this into a partisan issue, it really isn't.
No.
And the funny thing is you see all the time in Washington, we see our senators, our representatives, they are looking for opportunities to come out and to be bipartisan, to show they're working across the aisle. This isn't just an opportunity. This is a responsibility we're talking about now. And it's something that it's not that they have a chance to do. It's something that they should be doing, and they should be working across the aisle. The House of Representatives showed us how that works. Mm-hmm. It's time for the Senate to do that. And so, absolutely, I think we call, and I'll throw one more name out there. Senator Bob Casey from our own state of Pennsylvania has not come out and endorsed this legislation. He hasn't said he's against it, but he hasn't come out and endorsed it. I would love to see Pennsylvanians get on the phone with Senator Casey, especially Senator Casey's painting himself as a family man. He's a devout Roman Catholic. These are the kinds of things that he should stand for, and would very much like to see us flood his office with phone calls, really pressuring him to do this. I personally think that he will, if he hears from the people, and I think he will do the right thing. Senator Casey tends to be a reasonable man in that sense, and so I do think he'll do the right thing, but I do think we need to apply pressure on them.
It is a shame that he can't just do the right thing because he's a dad.
Absolutely.
And he just wants to protect our children. And when a child has something like this done against them, it really does not just affect that child. It affects the family, the grandparents, brothers and sisters. And this is something that might only take 1 minute, this act against this child, but it stays with them for the rest of their lives.
Right.
So I believe that we should be doing everything to combat that. I want you to tell us about Toomey's success with this co-sponsored bill that he did to protect kids from predators and human traffickers.
Sure, sure.
Give us
absolutely.
Some positive news on that.
Well, this is great. Senator John Cornyn from the state of Texas has wrote this great bill and to combat human trafficking.
And this is a bipartisan bill again.
Absolutely. 33 co-sponsors on the bill. Democrats and Republicans coming together. Again, an incredible example. I think a lot of times when we watch CNN, we watch Fox News, MSNBC, whatever it might be, we get the sense that Washington just does not like to get along. And the fact is, if you really look at the legislation, they like to talk about the legislation that doesn't pass. But if you really look at the legislation that does pass, there's a lot that goes on. This human trafficking bill is a great example. We have a Republican House, we have a Republican Senate, we have a Democrat president, and they all came together to make sure that we're protecting our women and children. And so this is a great example of what happens when both houses are open for business and when we work together. And it's
and when did we present this bill? Like, how long did this take?
This didn't take that long. It essentially just took a few months. There's a bit of a snag that hit early on, and they were able to come together and talk it out as we expect them to. And so, again, a great example of what happens when Washington works together. And what I love about this legislation is the protections that it puts in. And one of the great terrible things, I should say, that is a reality in our world is human trafficking. A lot of people think slavery ended after the Civil War. Absolutely did not. In fact, there are more slaves today around the world than there have been at any point in human history. In fact, if you add together the slavery at all points in human history, we've still surpassed it today. The new numbers that International Justice Mission, Gary Hogan from the International Justice Mission, IJM, is doing a great job to lead this fight. And the new numbers that they've put together is an estimate that there are about 35.8 million who live in slavery every single day.
And around the world.
Around the world. And so I wake up, my biggest concern is, what am I going to wear? What does my hair look like? And will there be traffic on the turnpike? These people wake up and they don't even have those decisions to make because they're owned by someone else. And we're talking about labor. Slavery, people who in Asia are being enslaved at the rice fields. We're talking about sex slavery, people who are being enslaved as prostitutes. We're talking about child soldiers, people who are being enslaved to fight wars that they didn't sign up for. And so it's an epidemic all over the world. But what is shocking to most Americans is that it's an epidemic in America. We know that the Super Bowl is one of the largest human trafficking events worldwide. And here in Pennsylvania, Bucks County, Pennsylvania, is the Pennsylvania capital for human trafficking. And we see this all over the place. In fact, where I am in Lehigh County, our district attorney, Jim Martin, just shut down they ran a sting operation on the massage parlor, and they just shut it down. And they're currently prosecuting, I believe it's six employees over there from that sting operation. You see this all over the country. A few years ago, about 2 years ago, IJM ran a petition and a boycott on the grocery stores Giant, Publix, and there's one more that's not slipping my mind, and Kroger, and because they were using tomatoes that were grown by slaves. Mm. And so there's a big effort across the country. There's a lot of great resources to get involved with, IJM being one of them, the A21 campaign. There's a great group called Chain Store Reaction, where people are able to go on and see companies that they have reached out to say, we need you to take slavery out of your supply chain, and how these companies respond. A lot of them respond very, very positively, and a lot of them don't. And so you're able to thank the ones that respond positively and put pressure on the ones that don't. So a lot of great organizations that are doing this. And it's really about time that the government steps up.
It's really interesting to me that when we think about slavery, we do think of it as very historical.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient history, maybe coming up a little bit to modern day history with William Wilberforce,
right.
And our African-American or African slaves. But why do you think, you may not have an answer to this, but why do we think that slavery is on the rise when we believe that our world today is more civilized,
sure.
and we're more educated? We like to think of ourselves,
sure.
right, as evolving.
Sure.
Why is there more slavery today in 2015?
Sure. Well, a lot of it, if you look worldwide, obviously a lot of this takes place in third world countries as well. And I think a lot of it comes back to human selfishness. And, you see, for example, you see with the child soldier situation, and that's been brought to the limelight, right? And you see over there, and you see what these warlords, they're really just doing this for their own personal gain. You see the same thing in Asia, when you have a lot of young people that are enslaved in rice fields, and you see their owners are really exploiting them for their own gain. And it's the same thing when you talk about the sex slave trade, which is rampant in Europe, it's rampant in the United States. It's really people who are doing this for selfish reasons. You look at these big companies that will not take slave labor out of their supply chain. And at the end of the day, it's because it's cheap labor. And I'm reminded that in the Civil War.
So it's money.
It is. And in the Civil War, Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin. And he invented it with the goal of it ending slavery. So what took 10 people, the cotton that took 10 people to sort, now the cotton gin could do in the same amount of time, and only one person would have to sit there working the machine instead of 10 people doing hard labor. And the idea was that this would start cutting out slavery. Short of the Confederacy abolishing it, this would begin the process of cutting it down. What happened instead was they just figured that they could produce more cotton. And so that no slaves were released. They just started working all of them even harder to produce more cotton. And so human selfishness is not something that can be corrected by law. But certainly the government needs to step up and start putting boundaries to restrict and eventually abolish this behavior. Mm-hmm. Senator Cornyn's done just that with this bill. Senator Toomey was a co-sponsor. Senator Casey was a co-sponsor.
So what does this exactly say right. in the bill?
So what this bill does is, first, it increases fines on human traffickers, which is wonderful. It increases fines, and it's there's a very ironic punishment here, where as their fines then go into a fund that is used to help the victims of human trafficking get back on their feet. There's several sides of the human trafficking issue and the rescue operations. Obviously, there are those, and God bless them, who are on the ground every day staring this evil in the face, and they're doing everything they can to execute these rescue operations and save these people who are being trafficked. And then there are those who work on the recovery end. And as they're freed, these remarkable men and women come alongside of them, and they really just care for them, love on them, and they really start to get back on their feet. And so what Senator Cornyn's bill does is it takes the financial penalty that we're putting on human traffickers that we arrest, and it puts it into a fund that will then go and be used to help get these victims back on their feet.
That's
and
wonderful.
So this bill, now it hit a snag. There's a little bit of an argument about abortion funding in it, but the two sides were able to come together and very satisfactorily, iron this out. And we've gotten this bill through. We're now better protecting our women and children who are being trafficked. And again, great example of what happens when Washington works together.
So we're increasing fines. Do these people get jail time?
They do, absolutely. So they go to jail as well as get hit with a fine. And we're not talking like a few $100 parking ticket fine. We're talking the thousands.
Good.
And so it's very good.
Because they're destroying people's lives. And I'm sure they may have even made millions off of these children.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sam, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure. Again, just tell us, is there anything else that you're working on with a little group that's exciting?
Sure. Well, we've got some candidates across the Pennsylvania as well as outside the state. And then, you know, we're just policy issues. One of the great things that we get to do is being independent is we really get to push issues that we feel are important.
Any mm-hmm. other bills or issues that pertain to the family that we can call people about, family or children? They come readily to your mind. Sure. I mean, they all right. affect us.
Right. Absolutely. There's always legislation coming up right now in Pennsylvania. The big one is obviously the budget. I was just talking with a few of the state reps recently, and not to go into details, another conversation for another day, but the Wolf budget is quite horrendous if you really look at it. And so
it makes Obama's budget look realistic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is really frightening.
Right. And the independent study just came out and said every single person in Pennsylvania will pay higher taxes under this new budget. And so, you know, certainly our state reps and our state senators are looking to see what they can do about that.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Carla Dedesi here with Your Family Matters. Remember to go to Julia Learns at Facebook in the next couple of days. Like Julia Learns at Facebook, and then please post I Vote to be entered into a chance to win Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely printed version ebook, and also the coloring book that just came out. The coloring book is so adorable. I have so many moms getting in touch with me already saying that they love the coloring book for their children, and they're posting pictures and sending pictures of their kids having fun while coloring, but also learning really wise principles about voting and being great future leaders. Happy Mother's Day, happy Friday, and happy reading.
You're the god of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God.
Mothers in the Philadelphia area struggle to feed, clothe, and house their children every day. Wayne Hall is Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission's Women's Transitional Home. The program at Wayne Hall teaches women how to structure their lives according to the Word of God. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will keep families together by helping mothers live lives pleasing to God. Wayne Hall is more than a place to live. It's a place to learn and grow. You can help these struggling mothers by donating to Sunday Breakfast. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission gives women a chance to have a better life. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission shelter homeless women and children in Philadelphia today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. Text THANKS to 41444.